Welcome, everyone, to the Space Game Junkie Podcast. I, as always, am your co-host, Brian, and joining me, as always, is your co-host, Jim.
I got nothing to... I was trying to think of something funny. I got nothing.
Well, you know, you can't have a winner every week.
I know. It's a lot of pressure, man. Like, every week, I gotta come up with something.
You gotta come up with something funny. And, yeah. You know, it's a little bit unfair. I mean, I appreciate that you do it so often.
Well, it's part of my nature.
Right. It's okay to take a break every once in a while. You need that. Your brain needs
a break today.
Yeah, you deserve a break today. Have a Kit Kat or whatever the fuck that
was. Hey, happy Halloween soon.
That's next week. Yeah. But anyway, guys, we have guests tonight. Two of them, actually, all the way from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. And since it's a different country, I have to say all three of those things. Joining us, oh, God, what's the name of your company? I didn't write it down. What's the name of your company?
It's Praxia Entertainment.
Praxia Entertainment. Wasn't that the... No, that's Praxis. I was thinking of the moon that blew up in the beginning of Star Trek VI. That was Praxis.
Yeah, right.
So Praxia Entertainment. Zachary... Okay, here we go, guys. I'm going to butcher these names. We're going to try it at least once. Zachary Beaudoin and Eric Fanyan. Zachary is the producer for Beyond Soul, and Eric is the creative lead for Beyond Soul. How'd I do, guys?
That was great. Yeah, that wasn't bad at all.
Oh, thank you.
Everybody out there, you can just say Zach and Eric. We're cool with that.
Yeah, Zach and Eric from now on. That's exactly how it's going to be. I'm not even going to try that again. So, guys, we're talking about Beyond Soul this week, which I was just made aware of a couple weeks ago, I think. It's a top-down, multiplayer, open-world combat trading thing, and I've put about a little more than an hour into it, and it's a good time. So let's load this bad boy up and we shall get started. Now, Jim pointed out that the ship looks Klingon-esque a little bit, which, you know, I'm fine with. I love it, actually.
What everyone is telling us. Yeah,
it's not a bad thing.
We changed from the previous ship that's in a lot of our videos because it's like, you know, we felt it looked a little too Romulan-esque.
Well, Star Trek's pretty influential. Now, if you guys don't know, these two fellows used to work at BioWare, which is kind of a big deal because a lot of people like BioWare. And Jim, I will now turn the floor over to you because you have something to get off your chest.
No, not at all.
No, no.
Oh, you mean
no,
the part that's... where you've never played Mass Effect? Is that what you're trying to draw out of me? You don't know the joys of my favorite game.
We gotta get this out. We gotta get this out, man, or else it'll just be pent up the entire time.
I'm bringing it. All right. Like, so, did you guys work on 2 or 3 or which?
I worked on Eric here. I worked on number 2 and 3.
Okay.
And I worked on the other titles, but not Mass Effect 2 and 3.
Okay. So yeah, I think 2 was probably the best. That's my expert opinion.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have that opinion.
It's the thing. Like, you come out of the game, and I could talk to somebody else who played it, which means that I can't talk to Brian. But I can talk to somebody else that played it, and they have, like, a similar story, but they got, like, a whole different narrative out of it the way that they played it. And that was the thing that was amazing to me about that, was just you could make some choices that were actually meaningful, do things in a different order, even though you kind of did the same things, and come away from it. And you actually cared about the characters, which so many games are just like, yeah, you know, whatever. You know, I'm this guy, and there's people, and I do stuff, and let's do the quest, right? But here it was actually the character writing was really good, and there was interesting things, and I wanted to see the backstory of why things were happening and that. So it was a rare occasion that the story of a game actually involves me to the point where if there was a movie, I'd be ass in seat to see it because I just want more of those people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have to say that I had exactly that same kind of feel from it myself. I mean, because I didn't have to work on it for several years, you know, I got to actually enjoy it like a fan, and I was a total fan. So it was a really fun game, really fun franchise.
Yeah. Jim keeps telling me I should play it. And so... I'm going to be honest. I tried the first one. It was okay. I got a little bored.
Well, that's why I told you don't play the first one. Not that it's a terrible game, but it's not anything in the caliber of what the second one is. The first one was like, we got this idea. Check it out. And then the second one was like, hey, we fixed everything. And now this is a password.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, okay. I'm going to be honest. I played a little bit of the second one. And I enjoyed it, but something got to me. something was weird, and I couldn't get over it. I still can't get over it, and this is a me problem.
I can't believe you're the guy that, like, has watched, you know, like, every episode of Babylon 5, right?
No, I haven't.
No? Oh, well, that's another problem with you. Okay, go on.
I've tried to get into Babylon 5, like, 6 times, or 5 times at least, and I just – it's never clicked with me. But what was I going to say? Something about the way your character walks – well, not or shimmies as it is. It just threw me. It just
on mass too. Yeah.
Yeah. It just threw me.
There was a little bit of animation stuff. I don't know. I got past it.
I tried. Oh. So yeah. So yes, folks. Again, Jim is bringing up that I have not played any of the Mass Effect games, and apparently a lot of people tell me, not just you, Jim, that I should play them because 2 has a lot in common with Starflight, I'm told.
Yeah, it's kind of got some of that.
Scanning planets and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like, it's interesting enough that it doesn't get tedious, so because you don't have to do a whole lot of it, but it's just like, oh, hey, here's a planet. I should stop for 5 minutes and scan this thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
One of the more controversial game elements in Mass Effect 2.
Really?
People thought it was a little too much, too boring and too repetitive, but like you said, you didn't have to do it. It was optional.
Oh.
But if you want the good toys... then,
I do love doing stuff like that, though.
You know, the thing that actually that won me to that game the most was the Omega DLC. I thought that was awesome, especially the character that it added, that who's basically like Boba Fett without a helmet. And yeah, he's a lot of fun. I just used to. It's like you're playing the game and you take time to actually, in between missions, walk around the ship and talk to everybody. And normally that's something I would never do in a game. I'd just be like, load up the next mission, let's go. I don't need any of this fluff. But here it was like, oh yeah, I got to go down there and talk to this guy and see if he says anything different. And he did often enough, you know, like he'd bust out a whole war story for you. And mm-hmm. It was like, wow, that's really cool. So yeah, that's all I got. Play the game.
Okay, I will eventually. But now we're talking about your new game. So you guys, I guess, left BioWare to form Pyxia. I'm saying that right.
Praxia. Praxia.
God damn it. I thought I said it.
Who else has that name already, apparently?
Yeah.
Really? When did that happen? Like, what made y'all want to do this instead of stick around to BioWare? Because hasn't BioWare been having issues lately?
Well, no, not really. I mean, BioWare it's a very strong company, and, you know, they're a great place to work, and we were, you know, so happy to get our start there. Unlike, you know, I listened to your Mr. Robinson story, you know, kind of tell about his journey through the game industry, and that's terrifying, which our experience is nothing like that. It's a complete opposite story of that.
Oh, that's good.
Though it really, you know, it came from, you know, really our childhood. I mean, we grew up together playing games, you know, we modded games when we were kids. And we got into the game industry around the same time. And after enough experience, you know, we decided that we wanted to, you know, live the dream, which was, you know, set out and do our own thing and, you know, make our own games.
And this is your first, this one?
Yeah, this is the first piece.
Wow. Wait, first piece? What do you mean by that?
Well, it's the first game, you know, so hopefully it's the... hopefully, you know, it's going to be really fun. You know, everyone will love it. And, you know, we'll make more stuff for, you know, Beyond Soul in this universe.
Oh, I see. So so far, Beyond Soul for me is pretty interesting. I mean, you have this right now I've only been staying in this one system, but I like how you have cities in space, which we'll look at in a moment. But come on, just die. I like how you have cities in space. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we thought that was pretty original.
It is, because a lot of people are like, oh, planets and space stations. But you guys have planets, but the main bases are, you know, on these cities. And you could actually build your own, which I'm usually not a fan of in games like this. And, like, I don't want to build my own base or business or whatever. Leave me alone. I just want to fly. But you guys have made it pretty efficient. I mean, straightforward in this one, which I like.
Yeah, we tried to keep it simple, you know, because, yeah, it is a combination of sort of city building and flying around doing missions and combat. So we wanted to keep it pretty straightforward. You go back, you know, with some money, build some buildings, upgrade your base, and then you're out again. So it's not quite the, you know, something like Dwarf Fortress or Towns, some of the other indie games. It's a whole city simulation.
Yeah, we wanted to simplify because, I mean, this is our pre-alpha build. You know, this is maybe like 10% of the game. And there's a whole layer of the game that we haven't even put in yet, you know, that you're going to see coming into the game over time over the next month. And that's sort of like a strategic layer, you know, that has a lot of characters in it. So these cities are going to have, you know, people that own them that are at the head of them. You're going to build relationships with these people. And, you know, some of them are going to be your friends and some of them are going to want to fight you. And you're basically, you know, wrestling with all these other city states for, say, you know, domination of the solar system.
Now, I noticed in your video about cities, you said that different corporations can set up roots in your cities.
Yeah, so we're looking at ways to make certain, you know, common game elements a little bit more interesting, and one of them is you know, corporations. I mean, you're going to need to build like a shop where you can buy stuff in your city, and then other cities need to have vendors, like otherwise you can't buy ships and weapons, right?
Sure.
So we decided that, you know, it might be interesting if instead what you're trying to do is attract a corporation, and that's like a shop with a set of things that they sell. And so you'd build a building and you'd get a corporation to set up shop there, but it doesn't give you access to everything. So you need to attract different corporations.
Oh, I see. So different corporations might sell a specific ship or a specific weapon. And then if you want all the ships, you have to attract all the corporations.
Yeah, exactly. And different corporations that have different requirements, some would, you know, be more advanced, more lucrative, and would require, you know, a very large city, well-defended city.
Yeah. Or maybe, you know, you're not, you know, you didn't attract that corp, but some other city that is your buddy did, and you can fly over there and then use their, you know, use their stores and land on their city.
Oh, very cool. So this city is getting attacked by several bad guys here, some actual cruisers and such. Oh, crap. Combat is kind of funky. I'm gonna just say that right now. Combat is a little funky. I think because for me at least, the control system is a little funky.
Well, there's a
like, yeah. It's probably different than, you know, most other top-down space games have been. It's based a lot on sort of the League of Legends control scheme where you right click to move, use your abilities on your QWER. You know, we've all been huge fans of League of Legends and sort of the MOBA genre. So I don't know, that's kind of where we went to when we started it. We tried a few different control schemes. We tried your traditional, you know, WSD kind of throttle based control scheme, but we just didn't feel it captured the versatility of the combat system of something like League of Legends.
Oh, so that's what's I've never played a MOBA like League of Legends. So that's
and using the mouse to like drive and you know you've no doubt noticed that you can shoot abilities and it'll go towards your mouse. Some of your abilities are skill shots where they shoot towards your cursor, and that's something you can't really do if you're just doing your regular, you know, select a target, automate your weapons, just, you know, press a button to fire. It sort of adds a lot of skill to the game, which we're trying to really play up. Is, you know, you can master the game when you get really good. You can get those really skillful shots out.
Right. So, yeah, that's what's throwing me. I'm not used to playing a game like this. Oh, God damn it.
Yeah. So,
this guy's going to kill.
So it's helpful to know, like, the shots actually track the mouse, because it wasn't real obvious because the mouse is just a regular arrow pointer, right? So, yeah. I mean, if it was, like, a crosshair or something, then I'd maybe feel it intrinsically.
Yeah. We want to do – because, again, you know, it's pre-alpha. What we want to put in is a sort of like a decal. So if you're going to use a weapon that doesn't just automatically track your target, you'll kind of see an aiming decal and you'll figure it out pretty quickly after you miss that. Oh, that meant that's where my bullet's going to go.
So I'm trying to build a city so I can land at it. and
yeah, you're
stuff.
Too close to the other one. Right now they all orbit the solar system, right? So
right.
The sun. And if you can build your cities too close to each other, then they might like overlap and then their guns would just like, you know, rip each other apart.
Yeah. So I think the thing with the moving, because I really wanted to steer the ship with WSAD.
And, yeah, that's where my brain went
too.
Are
you using the AS and D keys for stuff? I know you got the top row in business.
Yeah, we're not using the AS and D key just yet.
Okay, because I was gonna say A and D could be left and right, and S could be step on the gas, because you don't really have a reverse, right? So
that's right.
So like if somebody wanted to manually drive, or it's because the thing. like in League of Legends, the characters don't have any momentum, right? So you click on them and they instantly turn and go. Whereas here, if you click, it's like the ship stops and then rotates and then kind of goes. So if I'm trying to chase somebody and shoot them at the same time, I'm having difficulty with that because it seems like the ship just kind of stops and goes a lot when I'm doing it. So I mean it's super early alpha, right? So I mean you'll work that out, but
yeah, it's definitely something we keep talking about. And you know, definitely some of the people that have come by to play test our game, they're still rooting for that control scheme. I think actually if you have a keypad, it's the code anyway is still in there, and we've just disabled it for now.
Yeah, or to be able to lock the engines on, right? Just to say, you know, okay, I'm gonna steer the ship by clicking in the direction I want it to go, but just keep going.
Yeah.
Because if you're actually, that is one thing we know
we want to add is either on spacebar or the mouse wheel or some control where you can just toggle yourself to go full throttle.
Yeah, it would be like auto run, basically.
Yeah, because even us, you know, we've played League of Legends style games a lot, and even us during a battle, sometimes you'll forget to right click, and you know you'll come to a dead stop and eat a few missiles. So it's definitely something we want to add. Yeah.
Okay. So about the ship itself, what all can you do to manage it and change it, and you know, do you upgrade it as time goes on? What happens there?
Yeah. So right now, none of those systems are in, but pretty soon we're going to be adding. Yeah, we want a full customization system. We want you to be able to. Right now, you have four core abilities: two missiles, a machine gun, and a sort of a speed boost. And we want all your abilities to be customizable. So you get to decide what equipment you put on. That determines what abilities you have. You know, we want you to be able to upgrade your defensive stats, your armor, your shields. So that you can really decide what kind of combat style you like. Do you like a lot of the skill shots? If so, you can take a lot of the missile shots. If you hate that kind of control scheme, you can equip just automated, you know, machine guns. So we definitely want kind of a deep customization system in there.
Yeah, that makes sense, I guess. Damn it, I keep forgetting about the cursor thing.
Yeah, we've already talked about how for the start of the game, we're definitely not going to give skill shots to the player. We'll try to ease them into that so that, you know, it might be a few hours before you get your first shot that requires you to aim your cursor.
Yeah, or it's like, it'd be a rocket that, because it's harder to aim and you have a good chance of missing, you know, it does a little bit more damage.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you get this stuff that's easier to use, you're doing less damage, but then you don't have to aim your rockets as carefully.
Now, I like how after you destroy a ship, it doesn't just disappear. You could send out a mining drone to kind of salvage raw materials from it, which I like. Because that's how, right now, that seems to be how you get money. You go out, these missions that seem to be popping up, like a distress signal and a city under attack, are they dynamic as stuff moves around the system? You'll get, like, an alert?
Yep. Yeah, everything is dynamic right now, randomly spawned. We have, I think, like four or five different mission types right now. Obviously, we want to increase that a lot. But yeah, everything's going to be dynamically spawned. All the cities, the planets, the solar system is going to be procedurally generated. And even like the factions. So Zach talked earlier about how each city will be its own faction with its own leader. You know, we want all that procedurally generated. So every time you play the game, or if you go into your buddy's, world in multiplayer, it feels like a different world. It feels like there's different factions, different characters, and different events.
Oh, so this game has both single and multiplayer.
Well, not really, in the sense that right now you're playing by yourself, but you're actually playing a multiplayer-enabled world. Like, you're playing a host server. So if you gave your IP address to a buddy right now and you opened up your ports, you could just jump into your game at any time.
Oh, okay. Very cool.
So there's not, like, it's not a modal thing. It's always on that way. Yeah.
Very cool. And this city is a market, so I could sell all the stuff that I have salvaged from other ships.
That's right.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool, because that's how you get money to build your own city. Now, when you salvage from other ships, will you be able to pick up parts and stuff as well, or just raw materials like this?
It'll be just cash.
Okay. Right?
And, I mean, you're not really going to need parts for anything, because with cash, you're going to be able to buy the equipment, you know, to put different weapons on your ship. And then also, have we talked about escorts?
No, not yet. Oh, okay.
Ooh, no, we haven't.
So these cities are really powerful, right? I mean, imagining attacking one with just your ship, it's not going to work out.
No.
It's got like, you know, if it's got a dozen guns and, you know, we're going to add more guns and more kinds of guns, you know, it would just wipe you out. So what that means is you're going to get to build, you know, like higher ships that kind of go into a fleet that you can lead when you go and attack cities. You guys ever play Mountain Blade?
I've tried. I haven't got past the tutorial because I'm terrible at horseback riding.
Okay.
Yeah, I found it kind of like too clunky. I just couldn't do it.
Right.
Although I do like chivalry.
The sort of like army concept of like you're a special like leader person, and you know kind of drag this army with you, and then you fight. You know, when you fight something, you get that battle. You know, we don't want to do like the strategy layer map and the battle layer. We actually want that all in just one game space. But basically, you know, your ships are going to follow you around. And you could bring like, you know, 12 to 20 ships and attack a city with that, you know, with that fleet.
Yeah, and that's going to play into the whole strategy layer that we're hoping to add right away. You know, that's how you're sort of going to fight other factions. You're going to be able to attack these other cities, dominate the solar system, you know, basically fly around with a big fleet and wage epic battles with the other cities. Yeah.
And so right now...
That's a lot of cruises. You better get out of there.
Yeah, I wouldn't stick around.
I was trying to get out of there. Yeah, I just got totally boned by four cruisers. That was not fun. But I see that I have respawned where my city is.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Did I lose all my money? No, I just lost my cargo. Yeah. That's good.
What we want to do is like your ship, anything you put in your ship. So, you know, like any upgrades you put in it and your bank account is always going to be safe. You know, because space is hostile, you're going to die. And also, like, you have to build a city. But if your city gets attacked, you know, the buildings will get blown up. So you have to rebuild those. You know, when you have that fleet with you, you're going to lose some of those ships. You'll have to buy them again. So there's already all these other things that are going to take your money away. So we didn't want you losing your ship to be one of them.
That's fair. I like that. That makes the death not respawning not a horrible, horrible consequence, which is nice. And I gotta say, one thing I like about these dynamic missions is they'll pop up, you'll set a course, you'll warp to it, and you're watching yourself move on the map. You're like, oh God, I might not make it. Oh God, I might not make it. Oh God, I might not make it. And then you don't make it, and you're like, oh, I feel bad, man. Yeah. Someone just died because I was too slow.
Yeah, they really needed you there.
Yeah. And that, again, that'll tie into like, the faction system. So some of the events you're going to get is, you know, a city has sent out a fleet and they're requesting aid. And if you help them out, then, you know, they thank you for it. Your reputation with them goes up. Or if you turn around and attack their ships, your reputation goes down. And that's how you'll sort of manage, you know, your alliances and your enemies with other cities.
Oh, very cool.
Cash, you can also fly to an asteroid cluster, right, and like harvest the asteroids. That way you don't have to like, you know, fight to the death for all your loots.
Oh, that's handy. I might do that right now. I want to build up my city a little bit. So it looks like right now when you land a city, you can do repair work. But it looks like I haven't tried it at other cities, but when you land at your own city, it looks like repairs don't cost anything.
That's right. Yeah.
But if you land at another city, repairs will cost you money.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, your city will be your own, right? You'll have certain perks.
Yeah, you're the boss there.
Yeah. So what's your income coming from just running around completing missions and stuff?
Yeah, for now it is. We're toying with the idea of like once we get more turrets in, once we have the concept of the characters and the relationships and sort of that strategic layer going on. Then we're going to explore the idea of maybe, you know, your city, and if you develop it, you know, generates like a passive income through some means. And so like, you know, the more prosperous your city, the more passive income, therefore the bigger the fleet you can build. So we're toying around with those ideas, but we want to get to that layer of conflict first and then see how people, you know, play with it and see how people feel about it. We want to make sure that we're really very reactive to how people are experiencing the game.
Okay, because first thing that jumps to mind is you have various cities on the map. So if you set up like trade routes between them or something, that would be like passive income, and then you just defend the cargo ships.
Yeah. Well, cargo ships, that'd be good, because right now, I mean, the markets all have their own prices. So I mean, you could yourself, you know, load up goods from you know, one city go to another. I mean, that's not really the point of the markets right now. They're not really built for that kind of like hauling game, you know, but there's nothing preventing you from doing it as a player. But you know, the idea of maybe setting up like trade routes between cities would be a good way to do
it. Well, and you were saying
figure out what you make. And,
yeah, actually, yeah. I really like that idea.
Yeah, because yeah, you were that saying one. That you could get a fleet of ships that follows you around. So you might be able to hire cargo ships, and then you're just driving the convoy around.
Right. Yeah.
And when you have a fleet, how do you to control the other ships? Do you have like wingman commands, like attack my target, that sort of thing?
We're toying around with different ideas. We don't want to give you full control. Like, we don't want to turn this into an RTS where you're controlling dozens of units. We've thought about your traditional, you know, maybe you have a few commands like attack this target or defend me or, you know, go aggressive or go defensive. You know, we might add some simple like top level commands like that, but not direct control.
Okay.
The focus, you know, we want to have a really skillful combat system. So during a battle, you should be worrying about your ship taking out high priority targets, you know, focusing on using your abilities and not having to worry about microing every other ship in the fleet.
Yeah. You know, focusing on being the hero in the battle rather than, you know, some kind of like omnipotent view.
Oh, that makes sense. So you've got to trust that your fellow captains will do their job to the best of their ability.
Yeah.
Or so you hope.
Yeah.
and if not, you know, I mean, it's not your ship that blew up.
Oh, man. And so when you hire a fleet, is there like a salary you have to pay every so often to the fleet, like an upkeep cost type of thing?
We think that might be necessary. I mean, yeah. We'll start with a simpler version at first, right? I mean, you know, this is going to be an iterative game. You know, we're going to put a playable demo out for everyone to just try in the next couple weeks here. And then we're going to just keep updating that version for free for everybody. And we'll start with a very simple version, and we'll see, hey, does it need that maintenance cost? Does it not need it? Is it more fun if we do something different?
Oh, crap.
I mean, we don't know the answer, but we look forward to learning about it.
I suspect we'll need it. Yeah.
What is this with three cruisers? What is this? Okay. Jeez. Yeah, this combat is tense because I keep stopping. Damn it.
That's probably one of the biggest points of feedback is on like the whole like, oh, I end up stopping and I eat a bunch of damage. And so we're probably going to be addressing that right away.
Yeah, it's definitely, yeah.
Something. Yeah, that's a good idea because so far that's my pretty much only problem with this so far. Oh no, they destroyed the good guys. But wait,
but you can harvest them.
Harvest the good. That seems cold, man. I'm going to do it, but that seems cold.
Hey, cash is cash. You got to build those turrets in your own home.
Yeah, because those pirates haven't attacked my city yet. Yeah. I don't think. No, they have not.
They probably will eventually.
Yeah, so I got to build some shit there. Now, I saw that one there near – is that it? Is that the gate? There seems to be a gate near one of the cities. So are there – I haven't really played with it, but there are other solar systems, right?
Well, so, you know, the way we're working this in the narrative context is that, you know, the solar system is the entire play space you have. But every player has that play space that's a unique solar system, you know, in the universe. You know, it's kind of on the fringe of this very, like, you know, large, you know, galactic empire. And so the gates are going to be the device by which you, and we want to do this eventually, we're not sure when, that you travel between your solar system and somebody else's.
Oh, so if Jim had his own solar system, I'd go to a gate and then select Jim's solar system as my destination?
Yep.
Okay.
And then you'd fly through it and you'd be in his game, you know, playing with Jim. Also, you know, we have, you know, if it's a very large solar system, I mean, there's like there's a center of humanity, which is Sol, which is, you know, the solar system that is our home world, if you will. And so, you know, they might come and interact with you, you know, in a narrative fashion by, you know, coming through the gate, because the gate is how you get around, you know, the galaxy.
Yeah. For the backstory of the game, basically, you know, human civilizations develop to the point where they're colonizing the stars. And the way they do that is they send out, you know, these big fleets that build these jump gates, and that's how people travel between solar systems. So you've arrived at this newly, you know, discovered solar system that has a gate built, and you're one of the first few out there. There's a few cities that have already been developed, and you're competing with them for dominance of this solar system. And right. then you know, it's similar to, you know, Minecraft or Terraria, that kind of model where you generate a world, you play in that world, you can take your character into other worlds. But in our case, it's a solar system. Every world is its own solar system.
And can you, like, choose different... Like, when you start a new game, can you choose, like, the size of your solar system, how many other factions there'll be at the start? Will you be able to, like, make those kind of choices on how you start the game?
We haven't really talked about that. I think for now we're just going to focus on making one, you know, really interesting dynamic solar system. And then, you know, maybe later on we can add some options there.
Yeah. And we like the idea of, like, large scale. I mean, if you look at the map and you actually watch yourself travel, like, the solar system is enormous that you're in right now.
Yeah, I've only seen, it like, a tiny bit of it, really.
Yeah, and so, you know, if we put, like, 20 other competing cities in there with you, like, you know, there might be some characters who you actually never interact with. Like, it's going to be really, really big.
Right. So this city's getting pummeled pretty good right now. Okay, that's good. Oh, now I'm getting pummeled pretty good.
Hey, you're getting pretty good at the space combat.
Yeah. I'm trying. It's the mouse cursor thing. I'm remembering the mouse cursor thing.
Yeah.
The mouse cursor, the those little skill weapons don't do so good against these little tiny ships.
They're a little harder to hit.
They're a lot harder to hit, so I'm just relying on that laser turret thing to take them out. Now, will the skill keys be selectable, like changeable later? Because I keep hitting, instead of W, I keep hitting 2. I don't know why, but being able to change that would be very handy.
we want you to be able to set, like, your, you know, like, what your bindings are, or at least, you know, what weapons are on them so that you can get the hang of it, you know, and, like, because you put it there, you'll know what weapon you're using.
Yeah. Right, yeah. So that'd be perfect. I mean, I'm getting, because I keep hitting 2 instead of W for the laser thing. I don't know why. I don't know why I keep doing that.
Yeah. In most games, I mean, it's the number keys usually that are your abilities.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how long does this debris hang out here? Does it, like, disappear eventually? Or
if you notice, like, this, you're playing on a 2D plane, but it's actually a 3D space, right? And so all of the ships, when you blow them up, and even the little chunks, everything, like, sinks down, you know, into the space. And so eventually, like, they just go really far away, and then you can't see them anymore because they're, you know, they're just too far.
Yeah, because we were debating how to handle dead ships, and, you know, many games just have them pop out or fade out, but we thought, well, you know, we have all this 3D space that we're not using because we're on a 2D plane, so why not use that 3D space in interesting ways and have dead ships float downwards, and especially in large battles, or if you see a city getting completely demolished, it looks really amazing having, like, just tons and tons of debris all over fading down into the background.
It'd be fun to have a little garbage truck come out, though, and sweep it up.
That's what you do after the battle's done.
Yeah.
That's our job, Jim.
We're thinking about other ways of using the 3D space. Like, we want to have abilities that allow you to dodge up and down.
Do a barrel roll.
Yeah, exactly. Or do a flip and head backwards. Interesting ways of using the 3D space without, you know, actually making it your traditional 3D movement system.
Now, are you guys, like, right now there are asteroid fields. Might there be other types of space terrain add, like nebula and crap like that?
Yeah, definitely. We want to add nebulas for sure. You know, especially the asteroid fields and the nebulas, we want there to be interesting gameplay there too. So if you go into an asteroid field, your sensors aren't as effective. There might be ships hiding there. Nebulas would be the same way. You have reduced visibility, reduced sensor range. Because it's a big open space, we want to find ways of giving it sort of more of a terrain feature that you would have in, you know, other games based on, like, you know, landmass.
Right. Oh, and a handy asteroid right there. Very handy. They keep attacking that city that I just left.
Sorry. We definitely noticed the city attack timer is a little too aggressive right now.
Like, I just left, and I now need to go back. I was going to try and build up my own, but you guys are so, God, what did you do? what did you guys do? So right now we got, what is this this ship that we, what is the ship that we start with? Which, what is this? Is this some kind of cruiser
or frigate? Yeah, we're thinking starting you in a heavy cruiser. So we'll have, you know, we'll have everything from frigate, destroyer, cruiser, battleship. Dreadnought is our biggest class ship right now. You can actually find a pirate dreadnought if you go looking for it.
Ooh.
So we don't want you to be the biggest ship in the game, but we want you to be a powerful kind of a hero ship.
And I'm guessing that's where abilities come in?
Yeah, yeah. So like, you know, once at the beginning of the game, you might have a really hard time fighting a battleship. But as you upgrade your gear, as you get more powerful, as you get better at the game, you'll start blowing away battleships and even dreadnoughts, and it'll give you a nice sense of progression.
Right. That'll be nice. Jeez, these frigates. They are annoying little mosquitoes.
But, have you come across a dreadnought yet?
I think I did in one of my earlier games. It was even larger than a cruiser. It was like maybe 1.5 times as long as a cruiser.
About 4 times as long.
Oh, so no, I have not yet.
Huge. They're massive.
So no, I have not yet. So yeah, this solar system is already pretty big. I've only seen a little bitty bit of it. Now, will there be other guys like me flying around, and will they be able to make their own city, for example, at some point?
So the other cities that exist, you know, right now, you know, we have them there. We're going to have more of them, and they're actually going to build over time, but they're like you in that way, right? They're like a special person that is also, you know, competing with you to build a more prosperous city and to control more of the resources in the solar system.
Yeah, so when you start the game, you might, you know, there won't be massive cities. There'll be some small and medium cities, but over time, you know, those cities will grow. They're governed by AI characters, and they'll get bigger, and you'll have to decide whether you want to, you know, fight them and crush them or ally with them. And then you'll see, you know, these characters, we've talked about having them as actual ships flying around. So you can meet them out in space and try to destroy their ship or work with them.
That's a pretty cool notion. I'm gonna build a market here. 'Cause why not? I got the money. All right. There we go. Anyway, I kind of like how you didn't make like power a requirement in this shit. Like, oh, I have to build 3 power generators if I want to build a turret. That's,
don't give them ideas.
Yeah, we just had to talk about that today. We're thinking maybe it'll be necessary because we're trying to find ways of making the building component, you know, more interesting.
Yeah. Well, that's a point that we kind of go back and forth on. You know, Eric feels like power is a good mechanic, and I'm not a big fan of power. So we don't have it yet, but we'll see. We'll see where we go with it.
Yeah.
Now, I just sold stuff at my own market. So how are the prices set in these markets? Like, right, I noticed the prices in my own market are a little lower than the prices in that other market that I just saved 18 times.
Yeah. Well, right now they're sort of random. You know, when you build your market, it sort of randomly picks within a range. We'd like to have a system where, you know, as you sell more antimatter, for example, the price goes down, and as the commodity becomes more rare, the price goes up. We've even talked about, you know, the idea that in multiplayer, let's say 2 people each have a city in the same solar system, you know, your market, you'll take a cut from anyone trading at your city. Just another little incentive to have a market and make some money, and either from your population or your market.
Yeah, and to develop your city. We want to make sure that, like, you know, as you're investing in your city and developing it, like, you know, it's worth it. You know, it's going to make you more cash. You know, you'll have a bigger fleet. You know, you'll be more awesome.
Right. Now, will you be able to, like, so these cities are going to have people on it. Will there be like corruption on? Will there be like detailed anything on these cities? Like, will there be corruption? Will there be police? You need to build a hospital? You know, that kind of nonsense, or will that stuff be pretty much abstracted like it is now?
Well, we've talked about it. We're going to have to see sort of how, you know, what people think of the city building. You know, how much depth people want. Like, there's a lot to do going out and, you know, doing missions and mining asteroids and fighting other cities. So we're not sure how much we need the player to be managing his own city. Like, you know, if there's if you have to always be worrying about revolts and population happiness, maybe that'll just take too much of your time. You'll feel like you always have to be at your city managing it.
Maybe in that case you like can hire a governor or something, and like that governor can have their own style, you know, or something like that. Like hire a city governor or something.
Yeah, we've definitely thrown a lot of ideas like that around. It's just a matter of slowly, you know, adding one feature at a time and seeing sort of what fits and what feels off.
Yeah.
Right. So this is beta 0.2, so it's still pretty early, right?
Oh, it's pre-alpha. So
we've only been building it for
3 months.
3 months, yeah.
This is 3 months?
Yeah.
That's okay. I gotta say, this is pretty good for only 3 months. I was thinking like a year
something. We just started.
Yeah.
What?
Now, all the things we said that, you know, we want the game to be will actually be in the game.
Yeah.
Oh my god. So, like, do you even have an idea when this might be done? Like 2016 or?
Oh, well, done is a relative term.
That's true, especially for a multiplayer game.
Exactly. So what we want to do is, you know, we want to offer it for free for everybody in a couple weeks here. And then we just want to keep doing that for a while.
Oh, that's very nice.
A really sweet spot. And, you know, and then we're going to say, okay, so now we'll start charging for it. But, you know, because it's still really early, we're going to, you know, we're going to charge you a reduced price. You know, so it'll be like way lower than a full retail, and we'll call that the alpha. We'll say, hey, early access program, you know, buy our game and play the alpha for cheaper. And we'll just keep updating it and doing the same thing, and then eventually we'll declare beta. Price will go up a little bit, and then we'll keep doing that until we hit what we think is, like, you know, kind of our vision for the game and what we promised it would be. And then we'll call that final, you know, and that'll go full retail price. But then we're just going to keep developing for it as long as there's, you know, still people who want to play it. And then eventually, you know, if people kind of stop playing it, then move on to the next project. But and the idea is to, like, you know, so done is kind of a relative term, you know, based on what everybody wants.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't know.
No, that's totally fair. You know, I was just curious because I thought this was much further along. I mean, I know it did say pre-alpha now that I'm remembering. It did say pre-alpha on that little menu thing on the title screen. But 3 months already? I mean, you guys have, you know, working combat. You have dynamic missions already. My God.
Well, that's the benefit of experience and having the opportunity to, you know, cut our teeth at a prestigious studio. So
Unity. I mean, we're using the Unity engine, and I can't praise Unity enough. It's a fantastic engine. It makes building everything extremely fast. So.
Oh, that's cool. Now, is it going to be multi-platform then, since you're building on Unity?
Well, that's going to depend. You know, right now we're really focused on the PC.
Right.
And, you know, if there's an outcry.
As it should be.
Exactly. And if there's an outcry, you know, if the fans are like, oh, put it on my, you know, whatever other device, then, you know, we're going to have to put it on that device.
Yeah, yeah, definitely with Unity. It's nice having that flexibility. I mean, the obvious next step would be Mac and Linux, right? You know, I haven't really looked into what that would entail, but Unity just makes, you know, multi-platform support so easy.
It's like I want to be able to play on my Android tablet and be able to cross play with my friend on their PC. Make it happen.
Yeah, you can
do that, Unity, right?
To do the cross-platform stuff with Unity, like if you want to put it on a Mac or put it on Linux or whatever, how much do you actually have to do, or is it just drag and drop? Like, just
well, to be honest, that's what I, you know, we haven't looked into too much. We're focused a lot on the PC right now. As far as I can tell, it's pretty straightforward. Like, Unity handles a lot of the low level code for you. It'll build your code and build all your assets for the different platforms.
So it's kind of like a DirectX. Uh-huh. It just works everywhere, though.
Yeah, yeah. There might be some gotchas there, probably. But
things are never quite as easy as they appear.
Right, but a lot of the developers we've talked to are using Unity to build their games. So it seems, God damn it, City! I just left. Maybe the pirates were waiting and they saw that I just left, and they're now we attack.
I think we need to tweak our random event generator. Like, the events are being generated sort of around in your area, and you happen to generate a world that doesn't have that many cities around you, so,
yeah. Yeah, so that one's getting picked on a lot.
There's definitely some tweaking to be done there.
Well, this is, again, pre-alpha, so my God, tweak away. I mean, 3 months. So let's talk about that little experience slash history thing. You guys said before the podcast that you're cousins, and that even before working at BioWare, which we'll talk about a little bit, you guys, you know, played games together. Like, what are some
they
of
were
early...
they were actually cousins before they worked at BioWare.
We were. I did come first. Well, so probably one of the earlier experiences is back in the day. I don't know if you guys ever played like Marathon by Bungie. This was like their Mac game before Halo.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Marathon. You know, you had Bolo. Soon after, you had StarCraft. And whatnot. So my parents are teachers, and what they would do is they would bring home like Apple computers during the summer. So they bring like 5 or 6 of them home for us, and then I learned how to set up an AppleTalk network. So we would network all these computers, and we would just like play LAN parties all summer long, like 12-hour like LAN parties, you know, in the summers.
Yeah.
And during that time, you know, we got so good at the games, we decided like, you know, the maps are getting stale, so we'd find third-party tools. You know, we're like 11 or 12 years old. And we find third-party tools, you know, for map editors or physics editors and whatnot. And we'd kind of, like, make our own game settings, you know, mod the games, make our own maps. And then we'd play those, you know, throughout the summer.
Yeah. Wow. So we're big, big fans of multiplayer gaming.
Yeah.
We always played all our games in multiplayer.
Yeah.
That sounds like an amazing experience.
Well, yeah. Best memories of childhood for me, anyway. Many wasted summers in Zach's basement.
I'd call him wasted. His career now.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely not wasted.
It was all training for the future.
So was both of you ending up? Were you both at BioWare at the same time?
Almost.
Yeah, I got into an internship at BioWare while I was studying, and then Zach got hired shortly after. And this is what, like 6-7 years ago?
Yeah, about 7 years ago. 2007-ish, and we spent the next 7 years with BioWare and worked on different projects and, you know, learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys worked on the Mass Effect games. It looked like you also worked on The Old Republic.
I worked on the MMO. I didn't work on KOTOR, which is Knights of the Old Republic, the console game.
Right.
That was before my time. Yeah, but I worked on the MMO, and I worked on Dragon Age Origins. And then I went to Montreal, and that was my last posting was when I went to Montreal to work on the new Mass Effect game before I left BioWare, before we left BioWare to come all the way back to Edmonton and start Praxia.
yeah, and I worked mostly on, I started on Dragon Age Origins and then moved on to Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3. I spent a lot of time working on the powers of Mass Effect, balance, and a lot on the multiplayer on Mass Effect 3.
So did you guys do any game programming before you ended up at BioWare?
We both studied programming for a bit.
I got a computer
science degree at the University of Alberta here.
Oh, okay.
And that's how I got into the internship at BioWare. They were hiring, for a few years, they hired interns out of that program. So got pretty lucky there.
Very cool. I need to add more people to my city. So, hang on. Come on. Let me do this. Fine. Yeah, these cities look like they're going to get like these. Oh, God damn it. Hang on. I'm getting attacked. My city is getting attacked. or not. I don't know. Oh, it is.
Gotta build some turrets.
Yeah, I got one. Oh. I just need to apparently build a couple more now.
Yeah, the city attacks are based on the strength of your city, so you should be fine.
Yeah, for now.
Not like that other city nearby, which is just, you know, which keeps getting its ass whooped, you know, over and over again. Yeah, there we go. So now I have 2 turrets and a market. And what is that? Okay. So I have several population centers. That's cool. Oh, God, the city's under attack again. You guys. But seriously, this is my kind of game where I just, you know, I love to fly around and get missions and follow those missions and do shit and help other people. And, oh, God, how many cruisers are there? Oh, God.
Now, we plan to have a lot of stuff like that for you to do because, you know, it's important to have it like, you know, a wide variety and then have different kinds of rewards. And like reputation will be a really big thing because, I mean, by helping people, that means that you're going to engender a lot of goodwill.
Right.
You know, which means that when you need help, there'll be a lot of people willing to help you. Whereas if you go the other route, you know, you can do the total like douchebag pirate and, you know, kill everything and loot everything. It'll make you very rich, you know, but then when you need help, you're on your own.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, no one wants that.
Yeah. I play like that sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there's
all these cities. I mean, yeah, we want everything to be dynamic, right? If a city gets attacked over and over again, it might just get destroyed and then it's off the map. And then, you know, we want new cities to spring up over time. So the map will be constantly changing. Like we talked about earlier, yeah. Everything in the game orbits the sun. So, you know, you might be close to an ally when you start the game. You've got a city near you that you're working with. But over time, you know, they'll be orbiting at a different speed than you. So eventually they'll be really far away from you. You might be near one of your enemies. So we think that'll add a lot of kind of interesting strategy to the game.
Yeah. So will you be able to work for and against different factions? Like will different city states be able to hire you, you know, for example?
Yeah. I mean, it's not necessarily going to require like a hiring mechanic, you know, but if you've got a city state that you like and they're at war with somebody else, you know, like you could show up to a battle and blow up his enemy's ships. Right. And then that'll make him happy with you. You know, you'll get points with him, but then you're going to go like negative points with the other guy because you blew up his ships. Right.
Right.
So sometimes picking friends, you know, can mean making enemies.
Yeah. That's just how it should be. You can't be friends with everybody.
Yeah. And we want to add some interesting events like that where, you know, two cities are at war, they're near each other. So chances are, you know, we're going to generate events between those two cities where their ships are fighting. Yeah. So
you'll fly by there and like, there'll be a battle, you know, there'll be a pitched battle between these two guys and, you know, you'll just have to decide what you want to do about it. Do you want to stick around and just harvest the dead guys and not get in the way? Do you want to help one side or do you just want to leave because you don't want to get caught in the crossfire? You know, like, you know, those are going to be the kind of choices you'll have to make.
I like that. Now, will there be any kind of like news tick or anything like this city state attack, this city state and blah, blah, blah? Will there be any kind of news feed?
Yeah, we follow know that sort of thing? Yeah, we're going to need to be able to tell you like what are those, you know, what are those like really important, you know, kind of changes in the state, you know, or in the relationships that are going on through some way, but we haven't really figured out, you know, what that device is going to be.
Yeah. I mean, we have the little event ticker on the right, you know, it'll probably be something like that where, you know, war is declared, you see a little ticker. And if you bring up your map, maybe you can see, you know, an indicator on the map saying which cities are at war with each other. We are planning a, like a diplomacy screen. It's one of the icons in the top right. It doesn't open anything yet, but we definitely want to have kind of a screen that shows you all the factions, you're standing with them,
nice.
Standing between each faction.
Right. So kind of a different topic question. This is not really like a role-playing game where you have RPG stats. You're basically upgrading your city and your ship, but you don't have like a character that has like piloting skills or anything like that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We were going for more of that like sort of, you know, grand strategy, but you're a player, you know, in scene, if you will. Like it's that space opera feel, but you're an actor on the scene. You're not just like some abstract character in an RTS.
Right.
Yeah. So and since we wanted a more like sort of skill based action-y combat, you know, we felt like adding stats to that kind of, you know, just creates a complexity that isn't really going to serve the experience.
Yeah. And I mean, you'll get a lot of elements from that. Like, you know, for example, your missile ability on Q, you know, we're planning on having different upgrade paths for that, so you will level up your abilities, which will resemble sort of an RPG, but you won't have a character that levels up and, you know, you have perks to unlock or stat points.
Yeah, you don't have like a hit or miss chance or you know, a dodge ratio or anything like that. Like, you know, if you dodge, it's because you moved out of the way.
Yeah.
And you know, if you landed your shot, it's because you aimed it right, you know.
Yeah,
right. But in a way that makes the game simpler, which I think is good, makes the game a little more straightforward. Like you don't have to worry about your stats. You just worry about your equipment.
Exactly. You don't have to like read an encyclopedia to play this game. You know, you can just jump in, you know, use something. You're like, oh, that's how that works. And then it always works like that, you know? And then if you get a different gun, you figure out how that works. You're like, oh, it always works the same way. And you just, you know, you use it.
Right. Now, is it possible to have, like, if I wanted, like, these lasers that track any target, is it possible to have all of those abilities slaved, like, four lasers? So Q, W, E, and R would launch all the same attack, basically?
Yeah, absolutely. If you bought that same gun four times and you put it on each slot, you know, you could just be a rolling machine gun boat.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, every ability will be balanced, you know, with all other abilities. So, for example, right now, that machine gun is actually the weakest weapon, but it handles all the targeting for you. Actually, maybe the E is weaker, but it's a missile that actually slows engines down. So every ability will sort of be just as good as any other, you know, balance-wise, but some will be better at targeting, some will require more skill but be more powerful, some might have other effects like slowing down engines or adding, you know, a damage increase effect on a target.
Yeah. And I know totally how you feel, because whenever Eric and I fight each other, like whenever we're like, we do a playtest, we're going to PvP each other, like he just owns me because he's the master of landing skill shots, right? And he knows when I'm going to shoot them, so he gets out of the way. It drives me crazy. So I'm just like, you know, I just want to put the W everywhere and have machine guns and just like follow him closely with my machine guns and heavy armor, you know?
I mean, I got to say, that is appealing to have all of those be that machine gun turret thing that aims itself. But at the same time, there's a downside. There's a couple downsides. Like you said, first, it's not as strong as the missiles. And two, it's got a much longer cooldown / reload time than the other weapons, which I like, because then you're like, okay, I need to shoot something now. You know, I can't wait around four seconds or whatever for this self-aiming turret thing.
Yeah. And so, we're planning a lot of like other equipment on your ship. So the stuff that isn't abilities, like, for example, you have an energy mechanic where, you know, each of your abilities is using energy. It's that white top bar.
Right.
And, you know, through equipment, you'll be able to upgrade that, so you have more energy or it regenerates faster. Your shields, you'll be able to upgrade, and your hull points. So we'll have a lot of, like, passive gear that isn't just abilities.
I would hope so.
Yeah. It's a space game, right? So you got to have, like, ship parts that you can put on your ship.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to have better engines and better sensors and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. So, like, how many players so far? Like, so this is a multiplayer game, and you said, like, I could link up with Jim's system, but how many players can link up together? Like, if we both, so, like, 3, 8, 16.
So, like, we're going to follow the Minecraft route on this one, and we're not going to put any limits. And so, it's going to depend on your own resources, right? So, I mean, if you've got a kick ass machine and a killer internet connection, you could host more than somebody who does not have a kick ass machine.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah, because it's your game space and you're the host, right? So you let as many people in as you want. If it starts to chug, you kick people out of the pool. You know, it's up to you. You control the space.
Now, speaking of Minecraft, will you guys have the will people have the ability to mod the game?
That's something that, you know, we always love in games, because, I mean, we grew up modding games. But it's not something we know how we're going to do yet. So, you know, we don't want to promise that, yes, you'll be able to mod. You know, but rest assured that we love the idea, and we do want to do it, but we're not quite sure what that means yet.
That's encouraging. I mean, because, you know, besides its, you know, appeal of building and stuff, one of the huge appeals that Minecraft has kept Minecraft going are the ability to mod the goddamn thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I played that with a ton of mods, and the mods really kept me around for a long time.
One of our inspirational games for Beyond Soul was again another old Mac game called Escape Velocity.
Oh God, I played the hell out of
that game.
Nova
had amazing mods. It had like full Star Wars mods, full Star Trek mods, where you were essentially playing in the Star Trek universe with like this huge galaxy. And those are amazing. We tried all those. So, I mean, we'd love to do that at some point. We're just not sure when.
Yeah, I was going to say, people would love to mod, like, because this does, like we said earlier, this looks like a Klingon ship. People would love to mod this so the city looks like a Federation starbase.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you're flying a galaxy class around, shooting phasers and shit. People would love, exactly. Oh, damn cruisers. Damn me, I can't move. Anyway, I mean, it'd be great if you could, but I understand if you can't, because Unity has its own issues, from what I understand. So,
yeah, you can definitely set it up. Like, modding is something, if you want to do it really well, it requires that you build your entire game a certain way.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So,
yeah. And,
you know.
Yeah, and if you want to do it really well, you also support the modders actively.
Yeah.
You know? And that's just not something that we can afford to do with our time at this point.
Yeah. So it's a lot of work. It can be well worth it, but depends on your team size. I mean, you know, and a lot of mods, to be honest, modders are amazing, right? You see some of the crazy mods out there for games. That modders will find a way. And so,
yeah. I mean, it, you know, if they might reverse engineer our game and then, yeah. you know, do it that way, and we'd be okay with that.
Yeah, that's totally fine. Go for it, you know.
Did you guys see that one game? It was from a Total War modder. It was like Ultimate War Gettysburg or something like that. It just got released. It just came out of early access. But yeah, I didn't know that apparently the guy who made that, which apparently it's apparently a great game. Yeah, it was a former like Rome Total War modder, apparently.
Yeah.
Who went to do his own thing. I love stories like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the
We love those guys.
Game of Thrones mod for Crusader Kings.
Yeah. Oh, that was pretty cool. Yeah, that was intense.
I've not tried that yet because Crusader Kings makes me cry. It does. I've tried to play it a few times, and I'm like, I don't want to be a bastard. I don't want to be so mean to everybody. But that's what you got to do to survive in the Middle Ages, apparently, because you have to be a son of a bitch. And it's just, I have a hard time being a son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Like, I'm hardly ever, like Jim and I have talked about this before, I'm hardly ever a pirate in games like this, unless the game forces me to be a pirate, like Independence War 2 or something, where right. that's like your only option.
Yeah.
Other than that,
we didn't want to like force people to play that way, right? We wanted to just keep things open and people decide, like, you know, be benevolent or, you know, be a jackass. It's your choice. And either way, you know, there's going to be different kinds of consequences whichever way you go.
So. Well, no, that's the beauty of games like this, is it gives you the option to, you know, be whatever. Like, you can be a pirate if you want, or you could, you know, be a nice guy. I would be a nice guy.
Or you can be a pirate for, you know, 20 minutes and have that experience and then be a good guy the rest of the time.
So they kind of forget that you're naughty.
Well, it depends, right? Because, I mean, you know, if you're pirating one faction and they have an enemy, their enemy's going to like you because you're blowing up their enemy ships, right? So
kind of like a letter of mark type of thing where
I'm flying with these guys
and that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and this is definitely, you know, we're planning this to be sort of an open-ended game. You know, there won't really be an end to the game. You play it as long as you want. Your city keeps getting bigger. You dominate the solar system. So, yeah, we will have a system where, you know, the relationship system, people generally, like, they forget about stuff over time. You can rebuild relations if you've really pissed someone off.
All right.
Well, that's cool because I might not want everyone to hate me for a while. Okay, I got to build up my city a little more. So I got to thank you for being so willing to add save games soon.
Yeah.
That's a soon thing coming up because, oh my God, I tried playing Planetary Annihilation. And I loaded that galactic map. The whole reason I backed it is because they said they were going to have a single-player galactic campaign thing. And I'm like, that's what I want. Because did you guys play Total Annihilation?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that game. I haven't played Planetary Annihilation.
No, we did play Supreme Commander.
Oh, yeah. Supreme Commander like as well.
Spiritual successor to it.
See, I have not played Supreme Commander yet.
It's a lot like Total Annihilation.
Oh, yeah. It's like the same game 10 years later, basically.
Newer technology and bigger monsters.
Remember that multiplayer thing that Planetary Annihilation had? What were they called? The Boneyards or something? Where it was like a galactic war?
Yeah.
You know, that thing was awesome. Yeah. And I was hoping that this would be similar, but in single player, because I'm primarily a single player type of guy. Mm-hmm. So when I saw that you couldn't save your game, I was like, what?
Yeah, that's just, again, you know, 3 months of development, just a mechanical feature that we're actually working on that right now, and it'll be done, you know, probably by the end of the week, we think.
Yeah. Oh, I appreciate that.
So it'll be in there when we start letting everyone download it for free. Absolutely, because, I mean, if you're going to build your city, we don't want you to restart your city every time you sit
down. Yeah, I'm getting attached to my city. I want to build this puppy up and make it awesome. And that would be hard if I had to leave it. Oh, God damn it. I'm getting attacked again. This is so ridiculous, guys.
I would just let him burn at this point.
Yeah, I'm getting tired of helping him out. I'm going to be like, you're done. Sorry. You guys are nice and all, but we're done. Oh, my God. Okay.
Well, you know, they have their own turrets. They're probably okay. for a while.
They're probably okay.
Little secret right now is we don't have any mechanisms for like cities to fix themselves. So slowly over time, you know, they're chipping away, and they will remove that city from the map.
Yeah. Oh no, I need that. See, that's why I built this one here, because I need like someplace else to sell stuff. I guess. Well, I guess you don't if I have my own market, right? I guess I don't. Yeah.
It just depends on if you like the prices, right? Because the prices here will be different than there. So there might be some resources in your market that you get a better price for, but then their market might favor, you know, prices on other goods that you want to sell at.
Ooh, I found a bug, guys. Like, apparently hitting the L button will land you, but it will not take you off.
Really?
Yeah. Or if I hit the L key, that works. Mm. But hitting this little icon here, it'll land me, but I can't take off.
Interesting.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna write that one down.
Yeah, like I just landed, and that worked fine. But now I'm hitting the same button and nothing. So I hit the L key, I took off. So yeah, just a little bug.
Interesting.
Help you guys out. Yeah, I thought that was kind of odd. Like, wait a minute.
Yeah, lots of bugs.
No ticking, and we'll get right on that one.
It's no big deal. I just wanted to let you know about it. So right now we have, like we were talking earlier, a few different types of missions. We have we have a distress signal, and we have an attack on like a convoy and an attack on a city. So like what other types of like events/missions are you guys planning to put in here?
Well, so even in all those, there's actually some variations, right? You know, the distress call could be like a battleship that's taken on, you know, a little bit more than it can handle. Sometimes it's just a merchant vessel that's being, you know, jacked by pirates. And
that's true.
That's what you want to do. And, you know, there's all kinds of other things we can do. You know, we want to be able to do things like, oh, there's a big pitched battle. So you go figure out, like, you know, you go over there and it's a really complex battle. You might not want to get involved. So maybe you'll just, you know, harvest the dead guys or whatever. You know, we have one, it's called Debris Field, which is, we have a bug right now where Debris Field is just one ship. It's not really a field. So we're going to add some more there.
Yeah, we want to have variations on the debris. Where it's an ambush, you know, you get there, you think it's just a dead ship, and then pirates come out and attack you.
Might be the you know, things like we want to have famous pirates, you know, so like right now, like this guy is just a pirate frigate, right? You know, we want to have like named famous pirate vessels that are a little bit speedier. Awesome. And so, you know, it could be a named pirate sighting. You know, maybe if you kill him, you get a bounty reward or something.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about, you know, pirate outposts. So someone's discovered a pirate outpost, you can go destroy it to make sure less pirates are spawning.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Are there going to be pirate outposts?
You find their home base and you take the fight to them, and then, you know, it'll shut that down for a little while.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, we've talked about rescue missions, you know, a down freighter. You rescue the population, you have to bring them back to a city.
Oh, that'd be cool. Now, I noticed when you do one of these, like, distress signal / rescue missions, if it's a freighter, they'll pay you some money. But if it's, like, an ambassador or a cruiser or whatever, they don't give you jack.
Yeah.
What's up with that? Like, give me, like, a medal or something, at least, something.
Well, that's where you'll get your reputation increase, right? That fact will actually thank you, and you'll get better reputation with them.
I see. I'm going farther away from my safe zone. Here we go. Oh, I failed. There was a battle and it just disappeared. So I'm guessing when a battle disappears, one side wins over the other and it's not big deal anymore.
Exactly.
But you don't know who until you like go there.
Yeah. It's been resolved. And, you know, unless you're there to see what, you know, count the corpses and see who's got the most dead ships. The other thing is that, so your harvest drones, right, those mining guys, you can actually deploy up to 3 at a time.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, they'll go out and you can get 3 of them out there at a time and then they'll come back. Because I noticed you're doing one at a time there and that's going to be a little long, a little slow.
Oh, I didn't know you could do multiples.
Yeah, we're gonna put like a thing on the screen to make that a little bit more obvious. But yeah, you know, pre-alpha.
Well, it looks like that battle's over.
Yeah, that battle was over, but now I'm getting a distress signal, so I'm heading toward that one. So I do like that. This galaxy, well, not galaxy, the solar system feels very active, like these guys need help, and these guys need help, and these guys need help.
Yeah.
So I like that, and you're flying around helping or hindering.
Yeah, it's definitely something we want to push because, you know, space is huge and boring usually. Yeah. Real space is crazy huge and boring. So we need to fill it with lots of interesting stuff.
Right. Oh, I agree. Oh, no, they hit me. Damn it. Damn missiles. I keep stopping. Son of a bitch. There you go, you bastard. Oh, I'm hurt. I gotta get some repairs. I kind of like that klaxon. It's annoying, but I think it's supposed to be annoying. Like, hey, idiot, wake up. There's a bad guy around you. I like that.
I like that a lot. Did you guys ever play the old Rescue game?
Rescue? Like,
it's called Rescue. It's an old Star Trek game.
It was an unlicensed game that the image had to take off the internet.
Rescue on Fractalus or something, was it called?
No, it was just Rescue. You ran around as, like, the Enterprise, and and you fought. You rescued colonists from the Borg, and, like...
What?
Yeah. It was an amazing 2D game, and unlicensed, so eventually it got shut down, but...
Yeah, so you can't get it now, but so take a shot on that. But, you know, one of the cool things in the game was, like, every time, like, you got close to, like, a hostile ship, that, like, Star Trek Red Alert would come on. You know? So that's kind of what's inspired this, you know, like, every time a bad guy, like, tracks you, you're like... Combat sound, like, you know, game on.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to play that. Oh,
what was that game called?
It was just called Rescue. Oh. And I think someone's made
like a clone,
an open source version. They remade it. I thought I saw a link for it at some point. Yeah, I think Paramount owns the rights to Star Trek, and they shut Rescue down years ago.
Which is just a damn shame.
Yeah, it was an awesome game.
I mean, games like that are free advertising. Not that Star Trek needs advertising.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, that shows love for the franchise. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
I'll never understand that. Okay, Jim, if you can find that game, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, it's really tough, man. You go search for Rescue game, and then you see like all that all that generic spam that's been on the Steam store about, you know, like Rescue Avengers 911 and, you know, whatever. So, okay. Yeah. It's tough. Needle in a haystack, but I'm working on it.
Yeah. Someone has to have a copy of it out there somewhere.
I wonder if it even runs. It's probably like 15 years old.
Than that.
Maybe that's more. Fine. Yeah. I'm playing TIE Fighter and stuff right now, and I can get that to run, so I can get... That is interesting, though. Those early Windows games... Like sometimes those Windows 95 and 98 games, they can be tricky.
Yeah.
To run.
You know what? It might also have been a Mac only game.
Yeah, it might have been. Because we were big Mac gamers in the day.
Yeah, I think it might have been a Power Mac game.
Yeah. Oh.
That would make it even harder to find. Like, that's a real, if you can track that down, that's a real gem.
That would be making it harder to find because I never had a Mac until I started working with one like a year ago. So I didn't really play many Mac games. So I only played Marathon because they released it on PC like later after the fact.
Third one they did, I think.
And that was a great, that was a fun game. I mean, I can imagine.
It was an awesome multiplayer game for its time.
Yeah.
Oh, God, cruisers. Move, you idiot. Anyway, you guys are going to hate me, but back in like the mid-90s, I worked at an EB. And I remember... this family coming in one day and saying, do you guys have any Mac games? And I'm like, Mac games? That's adorable. Come here and look at our end cap. And they were pissed at me. They didn't buy anything. And rightly so, because I was an asshole. That was uncalled for. Oh, they got me.
Well, the problem at the time is I think there was like, what, like 5 or 6 Mac games worth playing, you know, but there was like 100 PC games or more. So, you know, it was like really slim pickings. So the ones that we did get, we cherished those and we played them a lot because, you know, we couldn't buy our own computers at that age. So we just did what we could with what we had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My girlfriend talks about Mac games she grew up with, like Crystal Quest. And Bugdom, I think, was one of them.
Hey, so this game, was it kind of like an Asteroids looking game?
Yeah, it was.
Okay,
it was
2D. So it was renamed to Maelstrom.
No, that's a different game.
Oh, is it?
No.
Oh.
Yeah. This was like, all right.
Yeah, I know what Maelstrom is. I played that one.
Yeah.
Oh. Now, you guys mentioned Escape Velocity. I played Nova a lot.
Oh, yeah.
That was released on the PC.
Yeah.
What, 2003, I think?
Yeah.
And yeah, I played the hell out of that. There's like kind of an open source version out there called Nave.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and still buy the original. I picked it up recently, actually, to just kind of replay it, and it was like $30 or something. I was like, oh my god,
it's still thirty bucks.
Yeah, I couldn't believe how much it was.
I was like, I haven't played this in years. I should try and either was it Ambrosia Software? I think they're called
Ambrosia.
Yeah, and that was adorable. You both said it at the same time, but So I went. I'm like, I should see if I can either buy it again, because if it's like cheap, maybe I'll just buy it again, support them. If not, maybe I'll contact them, because I bought it back in the day.
Yeah,
I don't remember what my email address was back then, so I might be fucked, but I'm thinking of trying. But I'm like, it's still $30.
Yeah,
this is a 11-12 year old game, guys.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Come on now.
Yeah, but I mean, they could do a lot more if they got it on the good old games for like $4 or something.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I know.
They must be making money on it if they're still selling for that much.
It doesn't really cost them that much to leave it there with the other software they're selling. So,
I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to really guess at their business plan.
Yeah.
That just seems kind of weird that a game that old is still being sold for that much. I mean, yeah, you'll see that in the secondary market. Like, I've been trying to track down an affordable copy of Star Trek Birth of the Federation, so I have it.
Oh, another classic.
Yeah.
I never played it when it came out because it looked kind of bad, but now I want it because I'm trying to collect everything. It's like the cheapest copy you can find is like $60 or $70. Like, really, guys?
Yeah.
Really? So, secondary market, I see that all the time, but from the published, from the developer?
Yeah.
Come on. Your game's really old. you should really lower the price, guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you get a hankering, there's that free game called NAEV, Nave, and they got greenlit, and no, they're very, no. very, very Escape Velocity-esque, very much so. So you guys should check that out. But yeah, I remember that. I remember I couldn't play that the first one when it came out, and I was sad because it looked great. That's why I was so happy when the second one came to PC.
Yep. Yeah, and then the third, which because. There's actually three Escape Velocities, and Nova is the one on the PC. I don't remember the second one went to the PC.
Nova's the third one.
Yeah, Nova's the third one. Yeah.
Oh my god, I did not know that.
Yeah, and the evolution from one to the next is like, you know, the third one is literally triple the game, you know, of the first one. The first one is just like the Confederates and the Rebels, and it's, you know, it's the two sides that are openly at war, and the solar, you know, the galaxy is probably about half the size, but and then they added like Nova has got like three different main government races and some hidden ones, and much bigger game.
Combat was tough in that game though because of the isometric perspective. It took me forever to get good at combat in that game, but it's been so long since I played it, I'd probably suck at it again. So this game has quite the pedigree. You got some Escape Velocity Nova in there. You got some, League of Legends in there.
Yeah.
Now you guys
got Crusader Kings relationship system.
Yeah, the little Crusader Kings and, you know, the characters, you know, Little Mountain Blade, sort of like the meta campaign.
Some inspiration from a bit of
it. Are you guys going to market this as a MOBA, or is this?
No.
That's good.
It's not a MOBA. Like, you don't just set up a game and run a quick pitch battle match in 40 minutes, right? Like,
right.
And we're putting this out there as more of like a sort of like city building, you know, strategy game, but where, you know, you're I'm trying to find an eloquent way to say this. You're the dude in the scene that kicks everyone's ass, right?
Yeah.
But there's got to be a more eloquent way to say that.
Well, that's we don't ask for eloquence on this podcast. We just ask for, whoa. Okay, this city's got like 5, 8, 10 cruisers attacking it or whatever. Whoa, that's ridiculous. Hi, everybody. They're kicking my butt. I gotta move. Anyway, yeah, I'm slowly gaining the hang of combat, but it's still taking some doing. Oh my god, would you move? Yeah, I keep stopping. Yeah, this definitely needs like I'm gonna just keep moving all the time thing, like we said earlier.
Yeah, we were the idea we had was basically whenever you're holding down space bar, you're thrusting.
Yeah, either that or like mouse wheel up or something like that. Like, and that just like kicks you up in max thrust or something. Like, just find some way to just put you in max thrust and leave you there so that you can fight without stopping.
Yeah, just give me a cruise control. That's all I'm asking for.
Yeah, cruise control.
Is cruise control. Because even Starflight had a cruise control. You know, did you guys ever play that one?
No.
Yeah, that's a toughie. Because that one's from 1986, and I don't know if it ever went to Mac. It was on everything else. It was actually on both the Amiga and the Sega Genesis.
Probably not Mac, though.
I don't think it was on Mac.
Yeah.
You might be able to get the GOG version on Mac, though.
Yeah, that's what Mac gaming of that era was like. It was like, you know, you were in a very small, you know, pool of like games, and like, you know, if someone made a PC game, they would maybe go to other platforms, but it wouldn't come to Mac.
That's what was so amazing about Bungie back in the day. That's why we played Marathon. It was like a top-notch game, Mac only for some reason.
Well, it was like, 2005 before they brought TIE Fighter to the Mac or something. It wasn't that bad. But yeah, I remember I walked into the Apple store and I saw a TIE Fighter sitting there.
Really?
Shrink-wrapped on the shelf. Yeah, man. It was like, I don't know.
What?
Like about 98, 99, something like that. Yeah.
Well, apparently the good old games version of Starflight 1 and 2 will work on a Mac.
Mm, nice.
So you guys should check that out. It's obtuse as hell, but it's so much fun.
Yeah. Well, we PC game now. I mean.
Yeah. Thank you. It's good to see that you finally joined them.
We had access now we can afford computers.
Yeah. Now we can buy our own machines.
That's right. I mean, Mac gaming has gotten better, though.
Yeah, it is better now. Yeah. Steam's on there and... There's quite a few AAA games every year that come out, Mac, Sim Ship, all the Blizzard games usually.
Yeah, Blizzard's been very good about that. And I do love how Good Old Games has this, I forget what this wrapper is called, the Boxer, I think. It's that it's like a DOS box wrapper.
Oh right, yeah.
For games.
Yeah.
Just randomly.
Yeah, so they have those bundled in there now. And it actually works really well, crazily enough. So Mac gamers have much better options now. Well, now that we're talking about this, you guys have to put this on the Mac.
Well, if enough people agree with you, then yeah, we
are your roots.
Yeah,
you know, it's kind of. I felt bad. We had a guest on a while back that had this amazing harpoon-esque. Jim, do you remember this one? This harpoon-esque space game.
Yeah, the one that it was on the Mac and PC.
No, only Mac.
Oh, only the Mac. Yeah, that's right. Because I had to
only
fire
Mac
my Mac
and
up.
iPad. Yeah, only Mac and iPad.
Yeah, now I remember that. It was on two things because yeah, I did get it. I put it on my iPad and then I got my Mac out and blew the dust off of it, and that's how we actually streamed it that day, was off my Mac.
Oh well.
and I haven't really messed with my Mac since. In fact, okay.
The thing is, it's a really good game, but because he's only on Mac, his audience is very limited.
Yeah, that's an interesting decision.
I know.
Well, you know, here's the thing, is with OS X, I like OS X. It's really pretty, and it's a joy to use, and I like how most things work on it, and then, you know, if you go under the pretty candy shell, then you got some nice BSD Unix under there. So it's all happy for me, except that the video cards in them are terrible, and you just can't game on it. You know, it's like, if you want to play World of Warcraft, then okay, you'll get by. But other stuff, wow, no. I was playing Guild Wars 2 for a while, and I wanted to play it like sitting out in the living room, right? So, and I've got a MacBook Pro, you know, it's not a slouch of a machine, and I stuck Guild Wars on it, and it was just like a slideshow, and it was like, no. I mean, like my Microsoft Surface played it better, which was crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, if a tablet does it better than my laptop, something's wrong.
Yeah. It's nice, too, having a Mac now because you can load Windows on it. But, yeah, like you said, the video cards aren't that great. So you can access all your Windows games, but they don't run that well.
Yeah, that's kind of a shame. But, yeah, I still don't really fully understand why this one gentleman just went pretty much Mac only. Because his game was really good. Like, it was really solid. Like, it was Harpoon in space, and Harpoon's great, and so it seems like a natural fit for a space game. Mm-hmm. But, you know, because his platforms are so limited, you know, like, I could see doing only the PC because, you know, come on.
Yeah, there's a big audience there, at least. Yeah.
Right, but is there as big a Mac gaming audience? I mean, iPad, sure, but Mac only? I don't know about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't really know. I mean,
there might be a technical. I'm not really familiar with iOS development or Mac, but maybe you can develop on both of those platforms simultaneously. That is easier for some reason.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember whether he could or not. I don't remember whether he was actually able to or not. You know, It was just really strange. Yeah, I couldn't even stream that one. Like, I'm streaming right now, but I couldn't stream that because I didn't know how to on a Mac. So thank God Jim figured that out, because I was lost. I'm still kind of lost on a Mac, honestly. I've only been using it for like a year. But seriously,
yeah,
it's
cool for like everything but games. I would do, you know, like all my everything except games on it.
Yeah,
yeah.
But unfortunately,
the people that I know that own a Mac, like, they don't game on it. You know, they do everything else. They browse, or they, you know, do their pictures or their movies on Macs.
Yeah, I could see that, because a Mac is a good machine for lots of. It's a great like work, browse, email machine, but I don't want to game on it. Unless it's an old game.
And if you got one of those old Mac Pluses that had the monitor like right in it, those make an excellent fish tank. They sell a converter kit. And it's
no way.
Put like a plexiglass window in there and a little fish tank drops in it. Yeah, totally. There's a guy at work used to have one on his desk. Yeah.
Number Crunchers, Oregon Trail on those old Macs.
Oh, God, those are
Apple IIe's. Yeah.
Yeah, when I was in high school, they started getting the Apple IIe and the Apple IIgs with the 16 color. Oh, God. Mm-hmm. And I played the hell out of Where's Carmen Sandiego.
Oh, yeah.
And Oregon Trail and those things.
Bolo was the big one for our high school.
Yeah. Which one?
Bolo. I don't know if you guys ever played that. A little 2D tank game. Multiplayer. You could play up to like 16 players.
No. You could play up to 32 players.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
It was amazing.
It was insane.
Was it like a combat style tank game or like a scorched earth style tag game?
Yeah, it was combat, and then you had a little builder and you could reshape the whole map was tiles and you could rebuild the whole map.
Yeah. Whoa.
It was an amazing multiplayer game.
Yeah, it was intense. Like a lab full of people playing it all at one time, and you know, you could change teams like on the fly during the game.
Oh no. So,
like people would get into little bands and then start to build big teams, and then somebody would go and grab all the guns out of the base and then like make their own team and screw everybody else over. Like, it was hilarious.
Oh, that is great.
Yeah. I should re-release that for iPad.
That would probably do well if it had online multiplayer.
Yeah. Yeah, they re-released Marathon for iPad, but only Marathon 2. It didn't have any multiplayer either.
Oh, they released Marathon for the iPad?
Yeah, Marathon Girandole, number 2.
Oh, yeah. Did you play it?
I tried it, yeah. It's really hard with a virtual joystick, right?
I would think so. I would think so. I've tried to play like first-person games on like my phone and stuff. It just doesn't really work that well.
Well, it looks like the city's finally...
Yeah.
Getting wrecked. Most of the buildings are wrecked.
Oh, I think almost all the guns are dead. It's got no defenses left.
Oh, God. I didn't even notice. But, yeah, this city is a shadow of what it once was.
Yeah.
I mean,
like you see that one commercial building that's just, like, drifting away in the background?
Oh, no. I feel like I should stay here and wait for the next attack. Oh, yeah, this thing is, like, half the size it was a little while back when we started.
Yeah.
They are just whittling it down.
It's even smaller than that. Like it's really been knocked down.
It has been, and I don't see any bad guys on the map. But...
Yeah, they're waiting for you to leave. They don't want to attack it when it's got a defender. They want to wait until it's vulnerable.
Yeah.
They're pirates. They have no honor.
Okay, so I'm gonna leave then. And there's a battle. But yeah, this game, so it's going to be coming out for free soon, which is awesome. And then eventually you'll start charging for it once, you know, alpha and beta starts getting ramped up, which is pretty great. Because it's kind of amazing how many space games there are that are coming out. So you got to do what you can to stand out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, we are kind of approaching this from a perspective of like, you know, it can be so many things. And, you know, we want people that become passionate about it, you know, help us decide what that should be. And so if we just make the whole game and then start selling it right away, then we've kind of lost that opportunity. Whereas if we, you know, put up for free really early and we talk about it really early and then people join us, you know, they can help shape it and then we can make something really, you know, amazing together.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I got to applaud you guys for going the early access route, because there have been some great successes and some fantastic failures in the early access route. But I honestly got to say, I love it. Because we have never gotten to see how the sausage is made more so than we are now.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Every week, you know, it'll get a little bit more refined and new things will come in and, you know, it's going to evolve a lot. You know, this is what we have in 3 months. It's going to evolve a lot over the next 3 months.
Oh, yeah, I know. This is only 3 months. Jesus Christ. You know what I would love, by the way? Can I make a suggestion? I want to follow this ship. If I could, like, right-click it so it, like, I form with it or something, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, we have talked about that. Yeah, a follow command.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Oh, that'd be amazing. Or even, like, yeah, follow command where, like even in combat, that would be handy, I think.
Yeah. We know when we do, like, a big multiplayer playtest, we've got, like, 4 or 5 people playing together. You know, they're often like, oh, you know, we'd like to just follow, like, one of the persons so he can kind of lead us to wherever we're going rather than everyone kind of steering their own way and, you know, kind of arriving at different times.
Yeah, I like that. And then if, like, you have multiple people following you, you can only go as fast as the slowest ship.
Right.
That would be very handy, especially if you had fleets and stuff.
Yeah.
Because have you ever played a game where you're in a fleet and, like, a space game, and you send them all off somewhere, and they all arrive at different times because, God damn it.
Like, I do like that because everyone walks in one at a time and gets blown away.
Yeah, I do that all the time. Even though Sins of a Solar Empire has a command that lets you, you know, have everyone lead, jump or whatever at the same time, I always forget to use it. So, like, I always got ships going to a new system earlier than my bigger ships. It's like, fuck. God damn it. They get decimated every fucking time.
That's fun, actually. So for the trailer that we put out, you know, there's a scene where, like, 4, like, players, like, show up at your city to help you defend it, right? So, you know, we had to, like, rehearse multiple times, like, sticking the landing, if you will, because everyone had to, like, jump at the same time, travel a while in formation, and then jump out at the same time. And it was so hard because, like, people, like, wouldn't press, you know, jump at the same time, or someone would be delayed, and, like, then when they all jump at the same time, they kind of fly around erratically, and then when they got there, they all got out at different times. It was like, a huge mess. So yeah. It took, like, a dozen takes to finally sticks the landing.
They're attacking my city now. God damn it. Took long enough. Good thing I've got some turrets.
They've decided that you've amassed enough wealth at your city that, you know, they decided that it's time to start raiding you.
Yeah.
Oh, well, is that why? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you're not really worth attacking if you don't really have anything yet, right? And so they kind of wait.
Yeah, as your city grows, you'll get more and more ships attacking. Yeah. So now you have a cruiser and a frigate, I think.
And then, like, the wealthier your city, like, the more prosperous it gets, you know, the more dangerous the attacks will get.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, and, like, right now it's mostly pirates. Well, it's only if pirates attacking, but once we get the relationship system in, it'll mostly be other cities attacking you, trying to take you out and claim dominance over the system, and you might get the occasional pirate attack.
Yeah, and pirates will play the role of, like, you know, the barbarian hordes in Civilization. You know, like, they're these camps that harass you and harass the other players, but, you know, they're not like a faction unto themselves that, you know, have a king or anything.
No, I like that. I really like the idea of this faction system. It'll definitely make, and that you guys mentioned the Crusader Kings, because we didn't have enough Crusader Kings in space. We definitely could use more of that. Yeah. Did you land, you son of a gun? Anyway. So, yeah, folks, that is, we've been talking a while, so we should probably wrap this, oh my God. So we should probably wrap this up. It's been over an hour and a half. So, yeah, Zach and Eric, thank you so much for joining us. This has been a lot of fun. I've been enjoying playing this game, even though I'm getting my ass kicked regularly, and I'm still getting used to the combat because I've never played a MOBA. Well, that's not true. I played one, but it was a terrible MOBA. It was called Stellar something. I forget what it was called. It was so bad.
Yeah. So I just want to tell everybody as we're going out, because Halloween's coming up, and if you go trick or treating, if anybody gives you meat, make sure that you cook it thoroughly. If anybody gives you meat, just don't take it. Just run.
Yeah, don't.
I'm gonna totally stand on the porch and just give kids meatballs. Just
uncooked meatballs.
Exactly. It's like, take this home to your mom, tell her to do something with it. I don't know.
Wrap them up in cellophane first. Well, folks, I want to thank Zachary and Eric for joining us. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
And guys, this game is a lot of fun. It's called, again, Beyond Soul. I think we've mentioned it a billion times, but just in case you missed it, the first 80,000. It's called Beyond Soul. It's going to be available when? Soon-ish?
Well, we haven't announced a date yet, but you know, in a handful of weeks, it'll be available for download.
Early November, for sure.
Yeah. Early November, you can download it. I believe you said for free in the early days of it to help you guys test it out. This is a really fun kind of open-y, sandbox-y, multiplayer-y, build-y, shoot-y, die-y, respawn-y thing that I could see Jim and I playing a lot of, honestly. So, folks, thank you for listening. And as always, if you have a request for a guest or a topic, don't forget to hit us up at hail@spacegamejunkie.com. And we will see you next week. Have a good one, folks. Bye.